So that's off yesterday. Really, really just beginning to scratch. No pun intended, that one. I'm going to scratch the surface of the next thing. I did not mean that pun intended. Okay. Get that down, I'll show back. All right. So we're getting to scratch the surface of the next sugya in terms of chak teichas. So we have a statement with absolute certainty that appears in the Sanhedrin Daf Chav. If you try to write a get through chak teichas, forget about it. Forget it's false in the Torah, the woman's initiation is Geraisa, the chai of Mrs. Bezdin, the ball out, the kids of mom. It's not even a shot, not even a soft egg. That when the Torah Kedoshim says v'chosav, so Teshuvah Peh says v'chosav means v'chosav v'lo v'chok. Now, even though the Gemara never says a word about writing a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, based on Chag Teichos, all the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, this is the Halacha Pesuka, assume it's identical. This is not called the Chosav, it's not called the Chosav, not called the Chosav for the purposes of Stam, Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, either. What is unclear is, what about in terms of the Choshabbos? Should we say that the Choshabbos parts ways with all other areas of Halacha? Or should we say no, that the Choshabbos is part of the same equation? So why would we think that it part ways? What leads us textually and conceptually to believe that it may part ways? So it's that very, very cryptic Gemara that appears in the 12th Perek of Masechet Shabbos in Perek Boineh, where the Gemara is discussing the possibility of, strangely enough, being chayav for Kesev of Shabbos for only writing one letter, which is very, very bizarre, because Nobel this year is two letters. So no, no, no. So the Gemara says, Hachal v'yaskinon, that it was a ches, and the ches was made up of two zayins, and you want to write two zayins. So instead of erasing the whole thing and writing two zayins, it's much easier. Take a razor blade, take a scissor, just chop off the chatuteris of the ches, and you're good to go. And thus remains behind the two zayins, the word zaz, and your chayef writing, in effect, two letters. Now, before we get even to the significance for our sugya, there's just a simple observation that Gemara is that clearly the Gemara is describing that the dark of a kach to write a ches is through two zayins with a crown. That's the description of the Gemara's breaking up a letter and turning it through two zayins. So that sounds like that's what the ches is actually supposed to look like. So that's the way many, many poskim say, and that's the meaning in many, many communities and many sofrim. That's the practice of what we call ksav es Yosef. There were different sofrim that have emerged throughout the years in Klal Yisrael, different nuances of different minhagim about how to shape certain letters. The reason why we have some of these different minhagim is because midaraisa, so a letter basically has to look like the letter. It means if you have a beis, it looks like a chav, that's not a minhag, that's possible in a Torah. If you have a vav, it looks like a yud, that's possible in a Torah. But if you have a letter that it looks like the letter, there's no mistaking it for this letter. What the Rambam describes, man yor tzakaribo, you look at it easily, it's obviously that letter, but we know that there are many, many deep secrets behind the letters of the Aleph Beis and different crowns and different embellishments and different beautifications of different letters that many of them are not ma'akev. The Rambam describes in Nuchasim B'Torah as minik ha-soifer b'dor l'dor, many, many different ways of writing the letters. Some of them appear explicitly in Chazal, some of them don't necessarily appear explicitly in Chazal. There are many, many parts of writing the letters that are not ma'akev per se. But within those areas of different nuances and how to form letters and different styles and different hidurim, so there were different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. It's not all that different from the notion that in Lashon HaKodesh, the Rambam writes in the famous Tshuva, that all pronunciations of the letters are the same. Happy Alocha, if it sounds like a shin, so it's a shin. If it sounds like a resh, it's a resh. If it sounds like a gimel, it's a gimel. Aye, so some will say it a good, everyone realizes it's a gimel. Or if the tough sounds like a tough, a tough, a soft, a tough, an O is an O, an O, an O, an A, it's all the same thing. Everyone knows what language you're talking. So we assume halacha that those are not ikuvim, don't disqualify. It's not that there's one right and one wrong way to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Same way, there's not one right way and one wrong way to write Kisvei HaKodesh. There are some things in a mashmaket. If you're supposed to say a gimel and you say a resh, so then that's a different word. You're supposed to say a bracious bowl of kim, and instead of saying a beis, you say kiracious bowl. It's a different word. So if you pronounce words differently, that's wrong. If you write words differently, it's wrong. But kozman, that's all basically the same thing. So we assume that Allah, those are all acceptable manifestations of ksav ashuras, ksav kisvei kodesh. But the mice, the one different minhagim, there are basically three different minhagim in Klal Yisrael about how to write certain letters. And you find if you look carefully, you know what you're looking for. So you'll look at the same Torah right away, and you'll immediately identify which one of these ksavim it comes from. So there's what we call ksav Beis Yosef. The seven ksav is called ksav Ari, and the third ksav is called ksav Velish. So generally speaking, people within the Ashkenazi community, So people were not Hasidim, so usually use Ksav Beis Yosef. That's the standard, even though it's a little bit of a strange thing that it's called Ksav Beis Yosef for the Ashkenazim. But whatever, this is the standard Ksav. This is the way what the Beis Yosef describes. And it's based on the Beis Yosef's traditions that have been adopted pretty much in this area by the Ashkenazi community. So this is one standard way of writing. Then there's a Ksav Ari, which has been, like many other things in today's world, have been adopted by the Chassidim. That this usually the same people who daven Nusach Ari or something close to Nusach Ari, Nusach Svar, whatever it is, are the same ones who are writing Ksav Ari. The same ones who are doing other kind of minhagim that have been associated with the Ariyah Kodesh. So that's the second Ksav. And then the Ksav Velish is a Ksav that many of the Sephardi communities, like whatever you want to call them, different communities practice. The differences are not that pronounced. If you don't know what you're looking for, so you don't think they're all the same, also think they're all the same, but if you know what you're looking for, you realize right away that there are very, very small nuances, especially between Beis Yosef and Ari, the differences are even less pronounced than you are between Ksav Velish. You probably, if you don't know what you're looking for, you wouldn't even notice whether you're getting an Aliyah in a Sefer Torah that's Ksav Beis Yosef and Ksav Ari. But one of the differences, if you know what you're looking for, what you would notice is the way Chesa forms. So the Beis Yosef's tradition is that the Ches is formed the way the Gemara describes it, as being the normal way, named with two Zions with a little bit of a Shvitchik on top. In Ksav Ari, so it's actually formed with a Zion on the left side, and rather than another Zion on the right side, it's actually formed as a Vav on the right side. So the Vav is rounded off on the right side rather than squared off, so it's more like a Vav and a Zion rather than two Zions. Why that is, why the Ari had this tradition of understanding of the Mice, if the Gemara describes it as being two Zions, I cannot tell you, I do not know. But again, you look at it, it looks like a ches. There's no, you're not going to think it's a shin. I don't think it's a tzaddik. You think that it's a ches. But again, different tradition in terms of that one. The other, the fastest way to see, if you're interested, just in case you're interested, next time you get an aliyah, if you want to know whether it's a ksav beis yosef, ksav ari, so probably the fastest way, easiest way to look at the tzaddik. Anyone know the difference between the tzaddik? So they look? Anyone knows? So whether the right head of the tzaddik is facing forward or backwards. So with the Ksav Beis Yosef, so the right head faces forward, and by the Ksav Ari, so it faces backwards. So this is something based on Kabbalah, based on the deep dark secrets about the role of the two heads in the tzaddik, which I know nothing about. But again, that's a different tradition. So again, we assume all this is a bit of kosher, but there are nuances and differences. So this particular difference, the Gemara seems to bear out more the direction of the Beis Yosef rather than the direction of the Ari. But again, even according to the Ari, clearly there are different ways of writing a chesim. Rashi has a comment in Maseches Menachos. So Rashi seems to describe that the normal way of writing a ches is neither of the two. Rashi seems to describe that a ches is closer to the way we write a ches, like just like a three quarters of a box with a little shvitchik on top, so to the left side, rather than actually two forms of zayins. So Tosfos points out against Rashi that doesn't seem to be the way Chazal described the writing of a ches. Again, it's also kosher. We pass, can you write a ches like Rashi, right? Like Beis Yosef, like Ari, like Gvel, whatever you write, if it's clearly a ches, it's not a shin, not a gimel, not a beis, so it's going to be kosher. But again, Bezman Chazal, it seems like Bezman HaGemara, they wrote two Zions, the way the Beis Yosef wrote. Anyway, just a slideshow, yeah.
It sounds like no matter
what, wasn't that topic, yeah.
If you split up a ches, it can be two Zions.
No.
It might be a
moment. Won't be. What is that?
This is Ksav Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
Ksav Ari.
Oh, so am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Just checking, okay. If you split up a Ksav Ari, Ksav Sefer Torah, it will not be two Zions, it'll be a Vav and a Zion. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says a soul stage Zion. Doesn't the Gemara say that? Yeah. Okay, fine. So again, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of that. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So the significant part for our Sugya in Gittin is that the Gemara seems to be saying that Chatoichus is considered to be a Maisa Koisev to be Chayav and Shabbos. Because otherwise, why you have anything for splitting up the letter? You didn't do an act of Koisev, you just chopped off the middle of the crown. That's the simple riot from the text of this Gemara. The more difficult question is, why should that be so conceptually? My Manishtana Koisev Shabbos from Ksibis Aged, Ksibis Aged, Mezuzas, why is it conceptually that we're comfortable making you Chayav on an act that would otherwise not be a Maisa Koisev in other areas of Halacha? So the Ran is the Rishon that takes this question, and the Ran is the one who develops the following Yisod or Yisodos, depending on how you read this Ran. So let's take a look at the Ran, the third of the Ramakrims. So we're going to pick up where the Ran talks. We leave out the Rashba for a moment, V'li nira, it's three lines, four lines from the end of the round, the last of the word. V'li nira. The emikan raya. He's negating something that the Rashba said. We don't need that for now. Says the Rav, third of my Makom, says, Legabi Shabbos, Lega Kpedim in Chachtechas Chachirechas. Whenever it comes to Chashabbos, it doesn't matter whether you form the letter by removing ink or whether Chachirechos, that's like carving out. The Gemara says that even by get, if you take a stone and you chisel out a get, so that's called Ksiva. Like by the Luchos for that. That's called the Michtav and Chos Aluchos. That's called Ksiva Aluchos. Ksiva Aluchos, even though there's no ink on the paper, but you form the letter, you know, directly. You didn't form it by removing. So says the Rav, when it comes to Shabbos, there's no difference. Says the Ran, why you chayev? Because of the two magic words, melechas machshavas. And then the Ran says, because after all, melechas machshavas is chayev. And presumably that's chaktochus. But we meet at the meeting ksiva, but in other areas of Allah we require ksiva. The lechse ksiva ki agav de ein lono. We have no way of saying that that's considered to be ksiva, neither in Git, nor in Sefer Torah. So anyone know what the Ran said? The Ran seemed to present almost two different reasons, rolled into one, as to Maya Manishtar and Shabbos. So the first thing the Ran says is Malach Zbach Shabbos Hashem Torah. The second thing the Ran said is that Moch Amanas Lechtov is Chayev. And everybody knows that Mochik is, that's Mochik is, but it's removal. So everyone read the Ran. Everyone's good to go. We're done with Shiva today. We got Mincha early ready. It's 137, right? Let me include the Ran said. The Ran said, Yechayev and Shabbos because Blach is Blach Shabbos. Anyone understand that? What's bothering me?
Well, we spoke about before that when it comes to the Shabbos, all we care about is the end result. Do we have a Ksiva or not?
You see, you're like 800 years ahead. You're quoting me Divya Cheskel and trying to agree, but that's not fair, because I cheated by giving you that Divya Cheskel into your arsenal 3 months ago, so you can't pull that on me, okay? Sorry for pushing you off. Yeah, I'm reading Iran. I'm just reading Iran. To me, Iran.
Yeah,
Iran.
It's not
Ksiva.
Why do I
care this much? Since when is Malachas Machsheves a Mechayev in Uchas Shabbos? Last I read Parshas Vayakel, which is the only time in Chumash the Torah even says Malachas Machsheves. It doesn't even say Machsheves, it says Machsheves. But the only time in the Torah says Malachas Machsheves is the Gabi Mishkan. And we have a tradition that Mishkan governs Uchas Shabbos. So if you look at any and every single place that Mr. Alter sent me on an email 3 months ago, Malachas Machsheves, it is always an example of a poter. You can take a look at Bava Kama Daf Chavav, where the Gemara says, the Gemara is talking about a guy, he's got a rock in his lap, and he didn't know it was there, and he got up, and he realized he's carrying. And the Gemara says, Paul, you know why? Malachas Machsheves on Soterra. Because he didn't know what was going on, he wasn't thinking, Malachas Machsheves on Soterra. You want other examples? A guy does a malacha derech davishen miskaven. So comes Tosfos and says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda says davishen miskaven is a nisud deraisa. That's only by shari surim. Other by Shabbos, malachas machshavas also derech. He's not thinking about it. He's not paying attention to what he's doing. That's nishkim malachas machshavas. Every time the Gemara talks about malachas machshavas is a condition to make you chayav. If it's lacking malachas machshavas, so you haven't sufficed in your violation of Chilul Shabbos. Malachas Machsheves is not a Mechayev, or is it? Malachas Machsheves is not a Mechayev. So push comes to shove. Did the guy write it out? Just answer the question. I'm sitting there with a ches on the parchment. I take a razor blade, and I take a razor blade, I cut through the letters. I just want one question. Name the Malacha. I'll give you any choice. You have 39 choices. Go ahead. Give me Malacha. Was I Chayrish? Is it right? Okay, I'm going to run the clock ahead. Mochik, good. Is that Mochik? Maybe. Who's talking about Mochik? I'm talking about Kosef. Right? Maybe about Kosef. Maybe it could be Kosef. I'm talking about Kosef.
Yeah, but it's not I'm saying. It's,
I am Kosef. I want to know, is this Kosef? I just want to know. Tell me, is it Kosef? So I'm going to say, Malachas Machsheves or Sotayra, and therefore it's Kosef. But it's not Kosef. I didn't even have the Kosef. So what in the world does Malachas Machsheves do for me? It's like, imagine I'm sitting like this, okay? I'm having my cup of water, and I'm very, very happy that I'm drinking my water. I'm thinking about the water so much. I planned on drinking water. I drank the water. I'm chayv skila for Bishul and Shabbos. But I didn't do Bishul on Shabbos. I drank water. But Lachas Machshavas also Torah. So if you didn't do an act of Kaysev, proof positive, it's not a get, it's not a secret, it's not a total losers. So what's from Lachas Machshavas also Torah? That's my cash.
You said earlier about Melech Shabbos being like a whole idea of like Kederach of a person. Like on Shabbos, it's like almost as if he's like doing that action.
It could be that Kederach, there may be a certain dimension of a Shabbos of Kederach different from Kol Kula that may have its roots of Melech Shabbos. That's true. That's the Eglital possibly, but it's not going to help me. Because at the end of the day, I didn't do Melech. You can only be Chayav in Shabbos if you violated that magic word, Lo Sasek of Melech. The song goes like this. Ain't gonna what on Saturday? Ain't gonna work on Saturday. Okay, what does work mean? Melechas, third of the month, third of Melechas. Office until ain't gonna work on Saturday. It doesn't say ain't gonna chaktechas on Saturday. It says ain't gonna work on Saturday. If it ain't kaysev, it ain't Melecha. Okay, this is a really, really poor English lesson, but it's just the way it is. So that's the first problem. I didn't say what the rest said. Okay, let's move on to the next line. And then the Ran says, then you want to know why you're chayav here? Why? I'll prove to you. Sharei, right? I'll prove. I feel the megapras dechtav chayav. Even erasing on the condition of writing is chayav. I understand. Well, what's wrong about this line, Ran? But I'm not talking about morchik. I'm talking about what? I'm kosik. So, the Ran could have said like this. You want to know why Chachteich is Chayv and Shabbos, you're born with the Kash, Chachteich is Nish Kaitsev, Nish Mezuzah, Nish Tvil, Nish Sefetan, Nish Gif. You want to know why Chayv and Shabbos, I'll tell you why. Because if you're taking a raw egg and you put it into a pot of water and you cook it up in Shabbos, you're Chayv and Bishul. So therefore, you're Chayv and Chachteich. So I'm speaking to that. I'm talking Kaitsev, you're talking Mechi.
Maybe he's trying to learn the problem of Mechel Makalgo.
Makalko means I did the maisa of A, B, C, D, F, G, but I did it in a mekukuldik way. I ripped the clothing. You can't say, well, I did the maisa kereya, so now you're going to tell me, Makalko is your part of maybe Yechai, maybe this guy, but I didn't do kaysev. So the maisa did it. So the Rambam's trying to find two reasons why Yechayev, acknowledging you didn't really do an act of kaysev. You didn't do an act of kaysev, you're still chayev because of Machas Bashabbos, which is incomprehensible. And the Eid Yishmaim, you're chayev because Moichik is chayev. But good morning, but Moichik is not kaysev. So everyone here read the Ran? Who here read this Ran? Who has thought the Ran is easy, no problem, nothing to talk about, right? Everyone thought the Ran is easy, simple Ran. I don't say a word of the Ran.
Is Ran really giving two different answers?
Is he? I don't even know. I'm not even sure. He sounds like he's saying the same thing. It's also incomprehensible. Two answers have nothing to do with each other. The two lines have nothing to do with each other.
Maybe saying that
Lachmashas
has so much power that it can even elevate something that's not.
So is that true? You have to prove that to me, so I'm going to prove that to you. Okay? You're right. You're ready starting to sense what's going on. So the answer to this round, of course, lies in a Gemara, not in Shabbos, rather than Baba Kama in the sixth day. So the Gemara in Baba Kama, that's Savach Aled Aleph, is discussing a sugya of Eish. Not Eish on Shabbos. Eish is one of the Abbas Nezikin. Okay? Abbas Nezikin, a Shavu Mavet Hever, Hever Kisei, Tse Eish, what's the Kisei? So a fellow lights a, making a barbecue. He's got his coals, his flames, everything's going really nice. And then, you know, he's a little bit negative, he goes after Da Mincha, he doesn't bother, you know, extinguishing his flame. And all of a sudden, what happens, it's a coal, you know, the wind comes, it blows a little ember, a little, you know, a little spark or something. And all of a sudden, before you know it, fire starts, and before you know it, next door's whole barn, is all the whole grain, everything, his whole field is on fire. You have to pay. Okay. So the Gemara is discussing the intricacies about how much damage did he do, and how much damage ultimately did the wind do? Kind of takes two to tango. So in the middle of the details of the sugya, there's a very, very Baba Kama-ish, very, very dakistic sugya, the psalm, very, very tricky sugya, the psalm, Baba Kama. But in the middle of this sugya, the Gemara throws out the possibility of comparing two very, very different areas of halacha, where the wind plays a role. Today's sugya is a wind sugya, okay? We're learning the sugya of wind right now. It's man and wind combining forces together. Could be like, you know, earth science, right? Earth science is generally the science they teach you where? either at the end of elementary school or beginning of high school when they don't really want to teach anything else, right? They don't want to teach you about biology for whatever reason. It's not bio time, not chemistry time, not physics time. So what is it? Earth science. So what do you learn about earth science? The rocks, the winds, the rivers, that kind of, right? Am I right? No. Right? Does anyone really know what you, well, almost all that anything more? There's no region on earth science, there's no AP on earth science, there's no college about earth science. No, who was the last person you know who got his PhD in earth science? It's just, it's whatever's not part of real science. So, sorry for that. I don't mean to, anyone who's studying advanced degrees in earth science, I don't mean to insult anybody's lifelong plans in earth science. Okay, anyway. Earth science. Oh yeah, I'm so sorry. It's a great course. I love it. Oh, I love nothing like those earth science majors. Okay, good. Only thing I've done with the science for non-science majors. It's the Isaac Newton, labs. Just observe gravity. Okay, guys, who's doing a little work on this? You touch it up a little bit. Okay. Touch up from 142 to 146. Okay, and then that. All right, back to that story. So comes the Gemara and says that we're trying to understand the role of man and wind together in terms of Hilchos Mazik, and similarly or differently, depending on what you think, Hilchos Shabbos. In the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, we know the following truth, that there's actually a melacha out there that you could be chayt for, even though you didn't really do it. You really started the ball rolling, but the wind really did most of it. What's that malacha? One of the trickiest malachas out there, called malachas zoreh. Not that it concludes with confused mechas zoreda. Zoreh is planting seeds. Zoreh is, what's the English word for zoreh? Winnowing. Okay, does anyone know what that means? If you saw a winnow, would you know what it is? Okay, so that's, yes, most guys. You know what winnowing is? You take it, you throw it up into the air, and the wind comes and separates it from it. Do you know what the it's on?
Chaff.
Okay, if you saw chaff, you know chaff? Okay, so the closest, best shot you got is, if you read the back of the box of Raisin Bran, so they'll try to describe to you a little bit what the chaff, what the bran, what the, that, so it's something to do with the wind and the wheat and something or other. Fine. So, comes the Gemara and says, we know Zoras Chayim. And we know that Zohar is done with the Ruach. That is what Malacha Zohar is. You throw it up in the wind, separates the chaff or whatever it does. So that is the Malacha. So Zev and Fadon, you see from here, that doing a Malacha with the wind is potentially called a Saska Malacha. It's called my action, my Malacha. So the Gemara wants to know, does that model carry over to Mazik as well? Where the wind and me together somehow produce this flame. Is that identical to the wind and me together doing this malacha? That's the topic of the Gemara. So the Gemara says it's not the same. Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Amrin and Zohar Ruach Mesayata, when do we say that Zohar and the Ruach assisting is considered to be my Losaska malacha? How do we learn Shabbos? The malachas machshavas are soteri, because in the magic words, the magic words malachas machshavas. Avalacha, Gurama ba'almu v'gurama nezikin potur. But over here, the grubba. By the wind, it's grubba, whatever that means. And indirect mazik is potter. Doesn't mean it's mutter, doesn't mean achatek is shemayim. Grubba is benazikin is potter, but also the commercial is above the second parak. But the mice and beis and shemati, you don't have to bake, because that's not considered to be your mice. So the Gemara clearly tells us that malachas machsheves here is a mechayev. Unlike other areas of halacha where it's not my mice, kumtun ul shabbos, and it's called my mice. That's the chiddush haTorah of Malachas Makshavas HaSotar in this context. So this Gemara, L'chora, is incomprehensible. Because we read this Gemara Kipshuto, the Gemara is comparing and contrasting Shabbos to Nezikin, and the Gemara says that a Nezik that happens via the wind, between your cooperation, between you, your power and the wind power, what was the word the Gemara used? Grum. The Gemara says Grum. The Gemara says the reason why you're potter is because Grum is even potter. So we're looking at this action, you and the wind together, is basically grumma. And what the Gemara just said, if you just put the two lines of the Gemara together, the Gemara just said that notwithstanding the fact that this is labeled objectively in Allah as being a grumma, even though you participated a little bit, you threw it up to the wind, that's true, but fundamentally, primarily, it's the wind doing the malacha, therefore it's called grumma. Af al pichein, malachas machsheves asra Torah. and Melechus Machsheves will say Grum B'Shabbos is Chayef. I mean, how else can you read this Gemara? Right? That's what we just said. The Gemara says, objectively according to the strict standards of the halachic universe, I start the process, the wind finishes off the process, that's called Grum. That's why I'm part of an Ezekiel. Shabbos is a different story. The Shabbos is Melechus Machsheves Dreres, so Melechus Machsheves is a Mechayef in a situation of Grum. So if your entire knowledge of Masechus Shabbos ended with the Makabit of Samach and Aleph, and you're in a Paschal to Shah and the Shabbos, but any other kind of Grumma, for that matter, any Grumma issue in Shabbos, what would you say? I'd say Chayev. I'd say Grumma B'Shabbos Chayev. Malachas of Shabbos, that's right. That's what the Gemara said. I didn't say it. The Gemara said it. That is a very, very difficult, that is an impossible conclusion, because the Gemara has the principle of Grumma being part of the Shabbos proper. It's a Mefarish Gemara, and Daf Kuf Chof in Masechus Shabbos. So comes the Gemara and says, on Kuf Chof in Masechus Shabbos, the famous sugi in the 16th parak of Masechus Shabbos, where the Mishnah and the Gemara talks about there's a fire broke out. Now again, assuming there's not pikuach nefesh, if there's pikuach nefesh, you just get the fire extinguisher, call the fire department, get the fire out. But in theory, there's not pikuach nefesh. Why is there not pikuach nefesh? Because there are all of three people live in the house. I get everybody out safely, and the next closest house is 40 miles away, so no one's going to die from this fire. If what if I live in the middle of a crowded area and there are houses next to the house across the street, so sparks fly, things fly, you never know. So therefore, Bizban Hazeh, any and every time there's a fire, house fire, Chalil B'Chalil on Shabbos, that's an outright Pikuach Nefesh, and you just get it out, make believe it's Tuesday, get it out as fast as possible with your fire extinguisher, call the fire department, whatever has to be done to get that fire out as safely and quickly as possible, that's the Din of Bizban Hazeh. So this is the Halacha Psuka. And those who are interested in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, so he writes this as a Milsa de Peshitta, and anyone know who his footnote is, he quotes Maamar Mochum. He says, on this halach, he says, notwithstanding what it says in the Gemara, that you have to play around and put barrels with water and maislach and all kind of stuff, he says, that's b'med v'mamurim, that's only when the houses are far apart, houses are too close, you don't do that. What's his Maamar Mochum? The Rockland County Fire Department, that's what he writes in the Rockland County. Okay, heard them from the Rockland County Fire Department. Sure, that's the Pesach halach of his Maamar Mochum. Okay. But back to the old days, the guy lives in a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, 20 miles away from the next farmhouse, and everyone's out to safety, so sure, the house will burn out. It's terrible, we feel so terrible, but what do you do? Can't do keyboards, Malachan Shabbos, can't extinguish the fire. So the Mishnah says what you can do, at least according to Sabtarim, is as follows. You can't literally take a barrel of water and pour it on the fire, that's kibbutz. What you can do is you can set up a situation where the fire will extinguish itself. How do you do that? You take a couple of barrels and fill the barrels with water, and as soon as the flames, you know, hit those barrels, it's going to make those barrels burst. The water is going to, you know, explode all over the flame, and that goofa will put the flame out. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that in Shabbos. Shlotavrad like that. The fire shouldn't spread. You shouldn't suffer more damage. That's called a davra mutar in Shabbos. Why is that mutar in Shabbos? So the Gemara explains in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos. The reason for this is ksiv lo sasaka malacha siyu diyasuk ramashari. This is called grama. This is called indirect. Now, what exactly makes this indirect? Is it because there's a time delay? Is it because there's a different maisa? That's a loaded sugi. You got to learn in Pesach Sanhedrin, Pesach Shabbos, Pesach Beitza to figure out how do you define properly what is grum, what's not grum. But that's not our sugi right now. The bottom line is grum is mutter. Now, there's a big machlokes in Rishonim. When the Gemara says grum is mutter, does that mean it's mutter all the time? I can live my entire Shabbos, every Shabbos, do anything and everything on the day grum, and that's okay? But let's not forget, this is a very, very unique, extenuating circumstance. The house is burning down. So when the Gemara said Grum is Shari, it could be all the Gemara meant is, Grum is Mutter under these circumstances. Because Minat Torah is really Mutter. Minat Torah, I can live my entire Shabbos and Yom Tov, everything's there, Grum is Mutter, because it's not called the Sias Malacha. But it's very possible that Midr Rabbanon is also. It's a very good reason to believe that Grum is also Midr Rabbanon. It doesn't look right. So when the Gemara says Grum is Shari, that means it's Shari here, it's Mutter here, because of the tremendous loss of Mammon. That's a big Machlokes in Rishonim. The Ramah Paskins that Grum is in fact Osir Midrabanon, but the Mokom Hefsid Godlo, maybe Mokom Mitzvah, the kind of big Trochim. So B'chiyagavna then Chazal lifted the Isser of Grum, and that's this sugya. So don't walk away from this Gemara thinking everything's good, I can live my entire life based in Grum, I can watch TV based in Grum, I'll listen, I'll draw my car based on everything, is everything, whatever I want, as long as it's Grum, everything's hunky-dory. So that's a terrible mistake. Grum Ashari means the hospital's Grum Ashari, maybe for an army, Grum Ashari, maybe for some unbelievable hefsid moment, grama shomi, those kinds of cases, grama isharus. That's just important to remember. Even if you see anywhere advertised some kind of a device, some kind of an appliance, it's called the grama XY, whatever that grama thing is, don't make the mistake to think, oh, this is the great way to spend Shabbos. No, that means, Khalili is sick. Then we can discuss, negotiate the using of a grama kind of a device. Okay, that's the way we use some halacha. But lamaisa min ha'tor, it's okay. What's the problem now? There's a student between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach, says that throwing something to the wind and having the wind do the trick is called grama. Harai, yapater, nizikin. And the Gemara says, but in Shabbos, yechayv, because Blach Tashav says it's a Blach Tashav transforms grama into being a maisa. Here in Shabbos, Kuchav, the Gemara says, grama is takal mutter. I mean, at least with the raisa, it's mutter, something's in the Ravon, it's mutter. So what happened to Blach Tashav? What's the difference? I didn't need to explain. I was trying to ask a kasha. I'm glad that I explained myself.
In this case, grama would be permitted, but not necessarily in others.
Oh, yeah. The Gemara says in Shabbos that there's no pikuach nefesh here. If the pikuach nefesh, you can get the fire extinguisher. There's no pikuach nefesh here. Min haTorah it's mutter because asiya also grama. What? Grama mutter, right? Okay. So asiya is asura and grama is mutter. So if grama is mutter min haTorah, I don't understand. What happened to the Lech Tashem Sosa Torah? I want the water to extinguish the flame. So the same way the Gemara says that when I throw the wheat and the chaff and the stuff up to the wind, my wanting it to be done somehow overcomes that otherwise thought of Ptur, that Havamid of Ptur of Grama somehow, no pun intended, is like dust in the wind. That Ptur flies away. So if it flies away, that Ptur disappears into thin air in the Vakamad of Samach. Why doesn't it disappear in Shabbos Daf Kuchav? That's the kash everyone has to do. Who here read these bakers? Nobody realizes the Gemara Mevakam going Shabbos are still Galuya?
Maybe in Ezekiel you're talking about how you damaged someone's eye or something, and there I threw it in the air, and then it got taken to someone's eye. But so that was indirect. But if we're talking about how I winnowed, that was a very direct winnow.
But the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara didn't say that, oh no, the answer is that winnowing is not grama. Why didn't say that? If you're right, the Gemara should have said, no, you silly, you don't know how to winnow properly. The Gemara should have said, you misunderstood the winnowing action. Winnowing is direct. Right? I don't mean you're silly. You can do whatever you want.
So, it is grama, but the direct of winnowing is to do it in an indirect way. How else would you do winnowing other than indirectly?
Okay, now we're on to something. So I want everyone just to preach the kasha. Some of you have to let a kasha seep in a little bit, digest it a little bit, think about it. If you don't think a kasha is a good kasha, you're not going to try to expend thought to try to figure out how to answer it. So I think this is a very, very strong kasha. So the Rosh was clearly sensitive to this kasha in the 7th of the Ramakamas. And the Rosh says like this, 7th of the Ramakamas. Tohasa malachas b'asheres osoteira. Afa pitoho havi ala grambi alma. It's grama. Don't tell me a Bubba Mai said this is the, it's a different act, this is more act. It's grama. The Torah says Yechaim anyway, even though it's grama. Why? So I'm expecting the Rosh to say that even though it's grama, and I should have been potter, what am I really expecting the Rosh to say? That Lech Tashem's Ai Shabbos is different than Kol Terku. That's what I'm expecting the Rosh to say. So I'm waiting with bated breath for the Rosh to highlight the fact that Shabbos is different than Ezekiel. Is that what the Rosh says? Vachi Chiveter, Kevin de Malachazu Ikra Siyasa Ayadei. What is it? Ayadei Ruach. That Zion, I thought it said Ruchaz. I couldn't figure out what the Zion is from the Bar Ilan. Nonsense. So Ayadei Ruach. Aval Hocha. Grama b'yama, grama nizikin patur. What did Rashi say? It's grama. Oh, that's grama. You can't argue with the fact it's grama. This is what it is. It's grama. He's still chayev. Why is he still chayev? Because this is b'lacha zobra. Because Baruch gave to Moshe the lama test b'lacha. This is every zayir is this. So, b'hochi chibir echamona. The Torah said one of the quirks of Malacha Zaira is that Yechayev, even though it's Grama. That's what the Rosh just said. I didn't say it, the Rosh said that. If that's the case, so La'olam, by other malachas, by Bishul, by Kosei, by Meichik, by Bainim, by Kapatish, by Mechad, Melamed, Oisesh, Batenir, whatever you pick your malacha, if you know what they are, you pick your malacha. Of course, Grom is Potter. How do you know? It's Potter Chumash. It says there's Losatka malacha, Asiya. You look at Halachapedia, Asiya, Main Tasiya, Nishkin Grom, Grom is Nishkin Maisadam. That Maisadam called Tarkula. Haraya, Potter, and Ezekiel. And even if Mishab is your Potter, says the Rosh. But what do you want from me? This breaks the rules because Dos is Malach HaZayir. Because that's the only way to do Zayir. That's the normal way to do Zayir. Everyone does Zayir this way. So when the Bershom handed Moshe Rabbeinu this parasha from Zayir, licked in the parasha of Zayir is the Chiddush HaTayir. That Yechayv, even though it's grammar. Didn't the Russians say that? Came in the Bahachi Chivet Tayra. Anyone remember like we had a very, very similar kind of a concept? Where, based on the regular rules, you should have been potter, but that's just the way it is. Remember? So Raya, we had a similar thing according to Selach Aronim. So Raya is a mother thing. I plant a seed on Shabbos. It doesn't take root till 2 weeks later. What am I here for? So according to many Acharonim, that's what the Rosh sounds like you say. Anyone have a problem with this Rosh? A textual problem with this Rosh? Something funny in the Gemara about this Rosh. Maybe. Okay, maybe. But I want to look in the Gemara itself. Maybe. It's inside the Gemara itself. Inside the Gemara itself. So go back to the Gemara. The Rosh is paraphrasing the halachic reasoning for the fourth of the Mamakovs. So Rav Ashi Yomar, Ki Yomar Nizor, Ruch Masiyato, Hani Bilu Lin Shabbos. Tum Lechas Mach Shabbos Osu Teyo. What do you think Marv said?
Zorah.
Marv should have said, Hachi Chibra Chamona. The Torah should have said, don't ask a cash from Zorah to Mazik. For that matter, don't ask a cash from Zorah to the other Malachas. So the Gemara is almost like, but Meleches Machsheves Osa Torah, the Gemara doesn't really mean Meleches Machsheves that we know of. The Gemara means that, yeah, this is a Malacha, this is what you're planning on doing, and this is what the Labadez Malacha is, and leave me alone with Grandma because Bahachiv Rechamana. It's a big read into the Gemara. Why do you think the Rosh turned the world upside down and said this Shpiat, knowing full well it doesn't fit so well into Lashon HaGemara? Why do you think the Rosh said this? Which Gemara do you think was the Rosh challenged by? Which Gemara forced the Rosh to say this?
Kukas.
What? Kukas in Shabbos. Because the facts on the ground are that Grom is Takapoto in Shabbos. So there's no question that the Rosh had that Gemara in Kukas in front of him, and he couldn't make sense of the two Gemaras. So he said, the stomach, you have to surgery a little bit on the Gemara. What does it really mean? It doesn't really mean, Lach Toshem says, which would make nice sense why Mr. Altman, he said, all the places of Lech Mashemis and Shas, he left this one out because you were Mechavah into the Rosh. It's not really what it means. Anyone talk about the Bapluk to the Roshes? No doubt. Who's the one who's taking on the Rosh? Heads on. Because the Rod and Arsugya, well, not really Arsugya, like, Asuga by extension. Sugya in Kuf Gibbot, that was in Shabbos. Kuf Dalal Shabbos, Yuch Dachas. The Ran said that in Hilcha Shabbos, you're chayav for Chak Teiches, even though it's not really called Kaisev. Why is it not called Kaisev in all of the areas of Halacha? At the end of the day, there's a blank piece of paper, and now there's a letter on the paper. So somebody spilled ink all over the paper, and I can very, very, you know, skillfully and carve away the ink, and now I got the words Be'echa B'Shabbos, you know, Shleshi Yom L'Chadish Cheshbonah. I got the first line to get all formed beautifully. No one can tell the difference. So it's exactly like it. Look at that. Why is that called Kesef? What's it lacking? Maisa Odom, the Ksiva. The Ksiva came about by itself. The Ksiva doesn't, is not a direct result of my Maisa. What does Rabbi say? Chak Toiches is a subcategory of what? Grum. It's like a grum. Not identical. It's identical. But there's a very, very real connection between the two. In both cases, grum and chatoiches, the result's there. The wheelchair's working, the microphone's working, the camera's working, the TV, everything's working. The malachas are happening, but I did it in such a manner that it kind of happened by itself. By chatoiches, the letters are there. The book's readable. The Torah is legible. But it happened by itself. So the Ran, when he uses that magic word, Malechas Machsheres HaSeh Torah, there's no question what the Ran had in mind. He had his eyes on which Gemara? Which Gemara did the Ran have his eyes on? We're not telling you even. The Bekamot of Samach. The same way the Gemara says in the Bekamot of Samach that Zohar is Chayav and Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that it's Grama, because Malechas Machsheres, you know what Malechas Machsheres does for us? An unbelievable thing. The Malacha happens. A ksiva happens. A kibui, I mean, I'll leave that. A zera happens. It's just that you didn't really do it. You know what the Vodim Lachas Machsheves is? In Shabbos, if you wanted to do it, you close your eyes and you wish that it happened, and you did do it. You may not have done it halachically because you did it in an indirect way, in such a way that it turned out to be called not your maisa, because as is grama, as is chakteiches. So in terms of the pure universe of halacha, we have to say, the get came about by itself, and therefore that's not called the chutzla sevek rishon. The Torah tefillah mezuzah came about by itself, not called the chsafta, not called kislecha v'sishir adais. Well, in the case of the Zikin, the fire's there, the house is burning down, but it's not called ma'avar seberi. You didn't do it, because it happened by itself. So in all areas of halacha, we use the halachic, look at the world through the halachic glasses, and saying, whatever happens by itself is not really your ma'aser. But there's one area of an halacha that trumps that halachic universe. And what is that? That's what the halachic cherry means. So I kid this. Let's say I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think, boy, I want to be mavasha. Look at that, ooh, that delicious, unbelievable piece of chicken. I'm thinking, I wish I had that pot of water on the fire and someone turned on the gas and there's a pot of soup. And I'm thinking, oh, you chai from halachic mashav. Because you thought about halach. Chai from thinking about halach. What does that mean? No. The malacha happens. You, quote unquote, press the button for the malacha. Api din, api halochas of hilchas ma'is odom, does nishkin ma'is odom, al zen ne'ma de pa'ashi from lachim ha'shas ha'sateru to b'chayvi. That's what the word says about the comment of Samach. And the Ran is quoting right out of that textbook. He's saying, well, if it works vis-a-vis grubba, then it works vis-a-vis chakteiches also, because chakteiches and grubba are pretty much the same you say. The malacha results without the ma'isa adam because of the halachic impediment to be called the ma'isa adam. Oh, malacha mashavas trumps that. So for the fact that the Ran dared and invoked that imagery of the word, Ran never quotes the word. Doesn't say ayin b'vakam nesav, but it's obvious that's what he meant. That imagery of the Ran of taking that gemara and using it and plugging into chakteiches, which Rishon would be shrying from the rooftops, say, wrong, you can't quote that gemara for anything. Which Rishon would say, that's a terrible misapplication. That is an inappropriate application of that Gemara. Which Rishon? The Rosh, because the Rosh said it, B'hachiv Rechamana. You don't see B'hachiv Rechamana outside of Zayirah. Or B'kaisi, B'hachiv Rechamana. B'hachiv Rechamana Kaisi. You take a pen, you write a piece of paper. It doesn't say Kaisi, Babu Batayra. To say that B'hachiv Rechamana outside of Zayirah is absurd, according to the Rosh. So for the fact that the Rosh quoted that Gemara, without quoting it, but we all smart enough, we figured out that's what he meant to quote. So the Ran clearly is learning the Gemara in a much more global sense than the Rosh. It's not limited. It's not a din prati of Zera. It's a din prati of Shabbos. It's more clearly than the. It's not clearly called Darkula, but it's much more clearly than the Rosh. The Rosh said it's only true by Zera, nothing else. But the Ran is true by all Malachas Shabbos. Any Malachas Shabbos that I did something, the Malach happened, I fell short. That connection is a little bit weak. Malachas Shabbos can strengthen that connection. So everyone's going to ask me, what does the Ran do with what? I mean, I can ask that. What does the Ran do with what? Kuf Kuf. You're going to ask me that question, right?
I
It was a great question, so ask it. Great question, Kufchav, yeah. So what do you want to say, yeah? Kufchav, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. You can ask your question.
Yeah, no, that
was such a good kashi you asked.
No, I mean, how could Malach Machshavas trump Rama?
Because Malach Machshavas is telling us that in Hilchas Shabbos purposes, your thought process is so much more important than other areas of halacha. So sometimes the thought process is a poter, sometimes the thought process is a mechayev.
Okay. But if that's the case, then why do we even need to answer the Gemara in Kufchav?
So then why doesn't it work in Kufchav? Why are you mechayev for being mechame? The minute that you take the din of melachas, the minute that you say that grama doesn't apply by other melachas, then you run into a brick wall, you run into the barrels, and you're about to get flooded by the water of the barrels. If you go into Rosh and say, don't bring me rayas from Bavakam Saf Samut, that's a mehevchim rechamana. There's a zayri ticket there, as long as you do it on the melachas. But the minute that you go like the Ran and you take that command and go running with it, you're going to run in Mamashon into a brick wall. Everyone chapters, everyone realizes, right? You know, who here read the Ran? Everyone read the Ran? Everyone saw when the Ran quotes Malach Hashemus, he didn't realize right away that he meant Bavakam Saf Samut? No? And as soon as you realize that, which you didn't, but if you would have realized that, didn't you realize right away that the Rosh would never say such a thing? Because the Rosh was bothered with the Gemara in Shabbos Kufchav. So there's no question now, how many Gemaras do we have? We have Gittin Daf Chaf about Chaktoiches. We have Shabbos Kuf Dalet about Kesev Ayadei Chaktoiches. We have the Vakamad of Samach about Zaira. We have Shabbos Daf Kufchav about Gram Kiboy. These four, what's the best thing we have? Four Gemaras. These four Gemaras are all tugging and pulling at each other. The Rosh is taking one stand on the Sugya. The Ran, by invoking Melech Tov Shabbos, is clearly taking a different stand. But the Ran has now got a big problem. You know, Lahavah of Dolos. You know, when you're trying to pull the blanket, you know, when it's cold, you know, those August nights up in the mountains and it's cold and you got one little blanket to keep you warm. So you start, first you put it over your face and then your feet are cold and you put it over your head and then your head is cold. Look at the silky, you know, I'm moving around. In case I'm quite comfy enough. So over here, we're so snugly and comfy and we're so good to go. We are so happy with the Ran's reading of the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet, and we are so thrilled with the Ran's reading of the Gemara in Bava Kamma Samach. We are so excited, except we have a Gemara in the Kuf Chaf that is staring at us and sticking out the sore thumb. So why aren't you chayef for Gram Kibbe?
Our
Jumbo
the Ran from Chayef Kuflos to Gubik Grama.
Yeah, we made that up.
Yeah, this is very, also it's very different. Chayef Kuflos, why are we saying that it's Grama? Because the action happens right away once you...
I didn't say it was identical to Grama. I said it's similar in the sense that the result is there. I did something. You can't say I did nothing. So in the case of Grama, I put the barrels there. Right? In the case of Chaktoiches, I got my hand on the paper. But up Halacha, the result is happening. The Ksivas HaOsius is not happening. I didn't do a Maisa Kosev. The Osius have become Nichtavels without my doing a Maisa Kosev.
I'm not myself persuaded by this, but
if you're not persuaded, I ain't going to persuade you.
As we heard before, certain malachas have their own specific rules.
Mm-hmm.
Kibui is you know, amenas something.
That may be true, that kibui, 9 out of 10 times kibui may be part of the malachas of Lagufa, but that's not gonna impact. Yeah, so you're right. Even if I take a fire extinguisher and I put out the fire lagamre, it's not necessarily the rice of the way we pass it against the Rambam. We pass malachas of Lagufa in the potter, but it's not going to help me here. Not going to help me.
Do we
know that the person here has the potential to put out the fire? Well, what do you mean? Why is he putting barrels with water?
Only because it could be just stopping it from spreading. The fact that we're talking about something without, you could do with water, without water.
The goal of putting water there is to get that fire to go out.
Why would you say you could put mechitzos with water, without water?
Because half the Tanaim say you can't put with water. Because without water, maybe without water, we'll be like the fire, we'll like that, close the door, right? Like, let's say the Moshe, what do they tell you when there's a fire? So what do you, let's close the door, right? Keep it from spreading. I'm not sure it's going to put the fire out, it'll stop from spreading. I mean, eventually down the line, if there's nothing else to, you know, consume, so then it's going to stop. But when the Tanoim, it's about the Tanoim, whether you leave it on do this stuff, but according to a week Paschi, you're allowed to put the barrels with water, that's clearly, the Gemara calls it. The Gemara says it's Grama. Of course, the reason why you're not Chayiv is because it's Grama. So the real question we have to ask now that we've identified the Ran as the Bapuk of the Rosh, how does the Ran explain that phenomena? Why don't we apply Melech Tov Shabbos there also? That's the real question. So how would you even begin to tackle that question?
Talking about talk about the normal way of putting out a fire, and go back to our derech shall let them put out a fire, it's not to fill buckets of water.
You're right. None of this is normal.
It's not malachas
hashavas. None of this is normal. But the Gemara doesn't say shalak yaderech. Why doesn't say that? Why doesn't it call shalak yaderech? The Gemara says it's potter because it's grama.
Malachas machshavas is like a person on their own das doing something. I feel like the Gemara in Shabbos, when I quote this, is like not really a person das, it's just like an emergency almost, and they have to put up these walls in order to protect themselves. So maybe that Gemara in Shabbos is different. It's more okay. Not a person wants to, but...
Okay. So I'm going to take your yourself, I'm going to change, I think that's the word emergency, that's too dramatic, but I like the direction that you're going in. To understand the nuance of difference, a very, very fine line difference. The Rosh didn't buy into this difference, but the Ron clearly did. I mean, we're medayik from the Ron, clearly he did. You have to go back to the table of Melachas Moshevis, and you have to really, really fine tune when that principle is applicable and when we went a little bit overboard in applying it. Melachas Moshevis. Melachas Moshevis kind of conjures up that image of. Let's go back to the Mishkan. Pashas Vayakel. Everyone's paying attention to Pashas Vayakel. Come on. How many Aliyahs were you guys holding? At Pasuk 52 and a half, you were still holding in Shani? Come on. So Pashas Vayakel. So you get that impression that everything was really well thought out. But Saul knew what he's doing, and he wanted to do it. It's this is what I planned. This is what I want. This is what I'm putting into all my plans into fruition. I want nothing less than to have a perfect Mishkan. That's what Melachas Moshevis conjures up, that image. Between you and me, the fire is raging in my house. And I'm trying to scrounge around in emergency. I'm trying to scrounge around with my barrels to get this fire out. Would you say that I woke up in the morning with this great plan? Gee, I am so excited. Today's project is to put out fires. I am so excited. I'm waiting for the way to do this. I've been working on this. We've been talking about it. We had meetings about it. And we have committees. And we're going to figure out how to put out fires. And when that fire comes, I am so excited. This is my moment of Machalach. I've been going to school for 6 years to figure out how to put out fires. Malachas Machshavas. And I take the barrel and I fill it up with water and it bursts. Wow. Baruch Hashem, I did it. Let's do it again tomorrow. Unless the guy is either a total pyro, pyromaniac, or he's learning to be a fireman, that's probably not what's happening. What probably is happening is that when he woke up this morning, he would have been a lot happier to find what? No fire. There's no fire, but the candles went out safely last night, the children said, something. The last thing he wanted to find is his house in flames. So can you say with a straight face, his kavanah, his Melachas Moshevis is to put out fires? No, it's not. It's his response. I mean, I think the emergency was really not such a bad word. It's his response, Nebuch, to something that he would have been much happier without. You can't call that kind of extinguishing a flame, a Melachas Moshevis, to the point of saying that even though it wasn't his ma'aseh, it's called his ma'aseh. If he actively goes in and takes a barrel and he pours it on the flame, so yeah, he did something positive. He takes chayav, maybe according to Melachas Moshevis. Yeah, he extinguished the flame. I can't say he didn't, but to call that a Melachas Moshevis to the point of saying that it's not really his ma'aseh, but the Aloch is going to declare it his ma'aseh because that's what his intention was. He's been dreaming of putting out the flame this way. Now let's find the guy Zohar. Let's take the fellow Zohar. Guy wakes up in the morning. He's a farmer. And today is, he looks on his calendar, it's Saturday morning, and it's, what do we call today on the farm? Today is?
Winnowing day.
What does he do? He's so excited because it's been a year since last year's winnowing day. He remembers that this is where my grandfather used to winnow together. We've been winnowing for generations. He goes and he's so happy and he's so excited. He checks the forecast to see it's going to be a good windy day. It's going to be a northeast wind, a breeze of 40 miles, a perfect time for a winnowing today. and he throws it up, and the wind comes and blows it away. Ah, gashmak, hazawi. Chefless grain, we can make a bowl of raisin bread. I can't wait till next year. You know what says the Shiptar? I mean, I just Americanized the drama. The Avnanezah says this. Avnanezah says that Kemechik Mizuchim Ayrev, the two Gemaras, the two Sugyas. In Bava Kamed of Samach, there is a Malachas Machsheves really truly there that could turn a Grum into a Chiyuv. Whereas in Grum, Kuvchav and Shabbos, it's a half baked response to a tragedy of conflagration. It's how the Malachas Machsheves. So basically, of Kemech, Mizrach, and Ayur, the Rosh and the Ra, and how to look at the seeming discrepancy, seeming disagreement between the two sugyas, it's not a disagreement. The Rosh took the approach of Zayra is the exception to the rule. According to the Ra, Zayra is not the exception to the rule, Zayra is the same as any other malacha, provided that's what you want. Who turns out to be an unbelievable machmer? Halacha Maizen of Shabbos, who's a huge machmer in this sugya. The Ra is potentially a tremendous machmer. According to the Rosh, the standing rule is Grum Ashar. I mean, a third Grum is always Mutter. Mef said something will make it even Mutter look like a but Grum is always Mutter according to the Rosh. The only time you have to ask a rabbi, is there a shot of the Rice? Yes, if you want to do winnowing. But if you're not doing winnowing, the odds are I have never, ever had a guy want to winnow. And the Ramos, Chumra, you can't spit into the wind, you can't throw one to the wind. Those are Chumras of winnowing. But, you know, the famous Ramos, that says that we usually think that Meleches Zorah is—it's like related to Beirah. It's like similar to Beirah Merakid. And it's basically a malach of separating good from bad. It's just done slightly different. Merakid with a sifter and Beirah maybe with your hands or whatever. Other kinds of kalim and Zorah is derech the ruach. It's all fundamentally the same. Well, that's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. Hainu Beirah, Hainu Zorah, Hainu Merakid. It's basically all the same. And why the Torah has to give all three? It's a different story, but they're basically all the same. So there's Rishalmi that doesn't seem to say that. Rishalmi seems to say that if a person throws water up to the wind, and the wind just separates the water, it's like a spray, like a spritz. So the Rishalmi says that's a shaila of Zorah. Rishalmi says, harokek l'ruach, I spits into the wind, and the wind, you know, separates the spritz, that may be a shaila of Zorah. So the Chavari point out that a very, very strange Rishalmi, because yeah, there's no bad, no good. It's just like one entity called Rok, one entity called Mayim, and it's just being spread in different directions. What's that do Melech HaZorah? So there seems to be almost a Machlekes Bad in Yerushalmi, what the Etzem Adover of Melech HaZorah is all about. The problem is the Ramah quotes the Yerushalmi. The Ramah Erechem HaShabbos says that a person should be careful not to throw water into the wind, not to spit into the wind, any of these kinds of things. There's a Chashash of Melech HaZorah. So the only Melech HaZorah I've ever gotten is this Yerushalmi's Ramos Melech HaZorah. It's a very, very questionable Ramos. A lot of Achvarim are not so sure about this Ramos. Anyone know the applications of this Ramos? Anyone know?
Aerosol
cans, yeah. So some old post school in the last 50 years, the whole story. A guy presses down a thing and all of a sudden it shoots out. It spreads out. So this is going to the earth signs for. You check your dorm, all right? What's causing that stuff to separate?
The pressure, the gas.
Ruach. I mean, some kind of shape, form of a ruach, right? It's not exactly a thunderstorm, but not a tornado, but it's some kind of a koyach achim rabbi. It's causing that stuff to spritz out. So that raises the potential red flag of Zorah. All of a sudden, all the deodorant cans, the air freshener, anything. All of a sudden, a Zorah Shaila! A new Shaila out of nowhere. We never thought we had a Zorah Shaila under the sun. It was a new Shaila of a Zorah for the non farmers. So Rabbi Riviat has like a few pages in his Sefer to try to explain to you why it's not really Zorah. And he goes, all the science and the physics, explain why it's not, why it's not Zorah. But, he quotes, but Medrum is not Zorah, that's when it's an aerosol can. But there's another kind of a spray can, anyone know?
With that
style? Yeah, the other kind of spray cans, they're not aerosol cans. that anyone know the difference? Aerosol can, when you push down, so it will remain spritzing out until what? Right, until you stop, or until you pick your...
Until it's empty.
Right? Or until it's empty. After it's empty, it's not going to go anywhere. Okay? But the other way is like the Windex, what do you have to do?
Keep pumping.
Keep on pumping. Everyone know the physics why that is?
Yeah,
he explains, he has the whole Shulchan Aruch explains to you why. And he claims that the only ones that could be a potential chashash of Zora are the Windex kinds of ones, not the deodorants. So some Paiskim will ask it, all the Windex things, and most people are not doing the windows on Shabbos, but it will ask it all of the above. Chashash of Zora. What?
Some containers we generally use on Shabbos.
No, but there's nothing spread, nothing like spritzing out. It just comes out.
Down, you push down and
then come no, but that's just the liquid just comes out. I'm talking about sprays. Yeah. So some Acharonim didn't like the spritzes on Shabbos because of that. So there's a very, very big question about that. First of all, I'm not sure I understand all the Matzias what the difference between these things are. But the whole Ramah is a highly, highly questionable. It's all based on that Ramah. Here, there's no good and bad inside these spritzers. It's just being shot out into the wind or the force or the pressure, whatever it is. So we're not sure that Ramah, we even follow that Ramah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes some Acharonim would say that the Rishon of the Ramah's quoting was a mistake. It says in the Rishalmi that if you right kick to the wind, you chayav mishum zoreh. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Acharonim who says that the Giras is a mistake. It's supposed to say chayav mishum zoreh. It's talking about if you do it in the Rishus HaRabim, if you spit into the wind, so you chayav dal amas for carrying Rishus HaRabim. That somebody chopped off, like say, if they chopped off the bottom of the hay, you're supposed to say zoreh. He quotes an obscure Acharonim, Ape Menashe, he quotes someone I never heard of, who says such a pshat in the Rishami. He says that the whole Rishami never even said it, the whole Ramah, the whole thing is not true. But the Ramah quotes it. So the Kivega has all true about this Ramah, and he says that even according to the Rishami, it's a Pella, because Melecha Zora is probably only in Gedula Karka, like Kaitzer, Adisha, it's part of those Gedula Karka, and the Rishami talks about spit and water and spice and stuff like that. There's so many problems, so many holes in this Rishami, that we're not even quite sure that we paskin like it. And maybe it only makes sense if I want it to spread. What if I don't want it to spread? Let's say I want to shoot out Windex. I want to get that spot of the window. I'm not saying should we wash the windows on show. I want to get dafka. Everything should be in that spot. But nebuch, the way the thing is, it spreads a little bit. So that's like the, almost like a segregation to what? Like a little nichla. I'd much rather that it not spread. So there are a lot of questions, practically speaking. Anyone knows the most practical ramification of this? These guys. Exhibit A. Okay, I'm going to press down. I'm going to hold it down. And what happens? Stops. Doesn't go anymore. So these are the bad ones. These are the ones that Rabbi Rubin didn't like.
It's like a Windex.
What? It's like a Windex. Windex. Like a Windex. So, is this going to do a character? What's the thing? Uh-oh, ethanol. Where does ethanol come from? Grain alcohol. Let's check. Grain grows in the ground, right? What?
From wheat.
From wheat. From wheat. Listen, Mechil. So, the fear is that I think they're mutuachim. I think there are so many tzedad and lahokil on the shayla that when you use these things, you want it. Where do you want it to be? You don't want it all over the place. You want it in your hands. So b'chlal, it's not a malacha, not even a shayla of a real malacha deraisa. It's a segregation of nichalei on something which, according to the Bavli, is pashas hetagama. We don't know why the Ramah quoted it. It's like a lot. We're not even sure the Rishonim even said it. So there's a lot of stars malacha. If any of that, I think that's a chance. So air freshers are okay. The air freshers are always they're the aerosol.
The aerosol free ones are like the Windex bottle. Yeah. It's Febreze. So that you
know,
it's not like.
I don't know. It's okay. Anyway, so why did I say this? They said no one ever gets any Zohar shallows. But we do get loads of Zohar shallows all the time. Myself, like tomorrow, we'll finish up the grammar part of this.